Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to HIL Limited's earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Meet Shah from CDR India. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Neerav. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to HIL Limited's Q2 and H1 FY24 earnings conference call. Today we have with us Mr. Rakshit Seth, Managing Director and CEO, and Mr. Ajay Kapadia, CFO. We will first have Mr. Rakshit Seth making the opening remarks, and he will be followed by Mr. Ajay, who will take you through the financial perspectives. Before we begin, I'd like to point out that certain statements made in today's call could be forward-looking in nature, and a disclaimer to this effect has been included in the presentation shared with you earlier. I'd like to invite Mr. Rakshit to present his views on the performance and strategic imperatives that lie ahead. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Meet, and a very warm welcome to HIL's Q2 and H1 FY24 earnings call. Today in this call, we'll share with you HIL's performance in the second quarter and the first half of the year, and how are we poised in the short run and for the remaining part of the year. And we'll also talk about the initiatives underway to chart out a phase of fast-paced value-building growth for HIL. At a consolidated level, the company reported a revenue of rupees 723 crores with a PBT loss of rupees 25 crores. Within this, HIL India grew at a steady 4% year-on-year with a revenue of rupees 466 crores and a PBT of rupees 19 crores during quarter two. All of you are aware, quarter two is always the lean quarter, both in India, given the rains and the monsoon, and in Europe, with the vacation season. However, in this backdrop, our Q2 performance reflects the growing momentum for HIL in its key product segments, and also the improving margin structure across the board. In India, I'm happy to say, we witnessed impressive volume growth in roofing, blocks, panels, and pipes and fittings. Parador outperformed its peers in Europe amidst a weak demand regime. Strong efforts on sourcing, cost management, and value enhancement initiatives have ensured we have made improvements in gross margins across the board. Today, let me start the conversation by talking about the exciting story unfolding at our pipes and fitting segment. We are, by some measure, the fastest growing major brand in this segment, with our volumes over the last 3 years growing at 32% CAGR. You would appreciate that the industry in this period has grown at an average of about 8 to 9%. In this time, we have built the strategic launchpad to build a scaled business in this segment. And some attributes that I would like to bring to your attention. We today have a national reach with a pan-India manufacturing and distribution network. We now have a comprehensive product portfolio of 1,500 plus SKUs, which we are constantly adding. In fact, in H1, we have improved and increased this portfolio by more than 10%. Several of these products are unique. Our TrueFit technology enables 100% leak-proof joints and enhances the value proposition for consumers. We have recently commissioned the state-of-the-art multi-layer foam core production line, which makes us one of very few players in India to offer that product and technology. We have a production capacity where the investments have been front-loaded. These are state-of-the-art plants which enabled with Industry 4.0, there is use of AI technologies and digitization, and these are plants which are at a level of sophistication comparable to none in the Indian context. We have state-of-the-art R&D facility which enables in-house compounding and stabilizer development technology. Plus, we have a solid product engineering capability with the help of FTIR and XRF technologies. Digitization is a way of life for our sales team and for also connecting with our customers. Our entire customer service and supply chain is enabled through these technologies. And these factors are the reasons why we feel confident about our prospects in this segment. In quarter two, we grew by 14% in volume terms. And just within the retail counters, our growth was 22%. This is in sharp contrast to many of the leading peers in this segment who grew with single-digit numbers. And many of you will appreciate this was despite the headwinds on PVC prices, which began somewhere in September, culminating in a sharp decline in the first fortnight of October. However, we believe PVC and CPVC prices have largely bottomed out, and we expect healthy market volume growth in the double-digit zone in the coming quarter. In this buoyant market, we are confident of outpacing the market as we have done in recent quarters. Our pipes and fittings realization is north of 162 rupees per kg. This is the number for the quarter that's just gone by, and which places us amongst the top three players in the industry and better than many larger players. We have sustained a favorable 40% plus share of CPVC in our portfolio, which will also be amongst the best in the industry. Driven by targeted cost initiatives, we are steadily increasing our profitability, and there has been a marked improvement in that compared to same time last year. With a strong brand legacy, superior product mix and a value focus, we are well positioned to create significant value by growing scale in this segment. So volume growth and scale growth is the key mantra that we are following in this segment. I'll move to roofing. For our roofing solutions, our brand Charminar has shown a revenue growth of 10% backed by volume growth of 8% and NSR growth of 2%. The strong brand equity of Charminar brand, together with an unparalleled market reach which spans more than 21,000 outlets and a coverage which extends to more than 60% tehsils in India. Now, these are the strategic assets that drive the superior performance. We are the clear market leader with a 24 to 25% market share in first half of the year, and we command significant price premium over our peers. Digital commerce and Salesforce automation are one of the many technology interventions that have become part of our DNA and delivering continuous improvement on our Salesforce productivity. In the coming two quarters, remaining part of this year, we expect both volume and price growth leading to stronger margin performance. We will also be introducing some exciting new products in this segment to sustain our differentiated positioning. In building solutions, our key segments blocks and panel delivered robust volume growth despite seasonal demand headwinds and the strike at our Chennai plant. With these transient factors now behind us, both volume and realizations are on an upward trajectory. In this segment, we go by the brand name of Birla Aerocon, which continues to be a truly premium brand, known for its quality and continued efforts made by our technical sales team, which drives this premium positioning in the market. We have served during this quarter over 550 different projects and customers, and have a very healthy order pipeline for coming quarters. Further, we continue to scout for opportunities for both inorganic and organic capacity expansion to accelerate our growth trajectory. Amidst erratic monsoons across the country, along with the reduction in prices driven by increased competitive intensity, the performance of our putty business was lower than expected. However, with some structural fine-tuning that we have done over the last few months, including realignment of the sales team and geographical expansion, has started yielding results, and we expect resumption of our usual growth journey in coming quarters. Efforts on recipe optimization and sourcing have meant a significant uplift in the profitability in putty compared to last year. Our construction chemicals business, the newest kid on the block for us, is on a strong growth momentum as we continue to scale the business up month on month. We are continuously expanding our product assortment and growing our footprint in the underpenetrated South and East India. In a significant step up and a key milestone for us, we have started in-house production of one of our major product categories, tile adhesives, at our Jhajjar unit. Overall, we expect the second half of this year to be the breakthrough period for this new business. Let me move on to Paridol, our business in Europe and rest of the world. At Paridol, like I shared last time, we are driving a significant change agenda. Despite the short-term geopolitical headwinds, this process has gained a greater momentum with the joining of our new Paridol CEO, Neil Bradham, in the second quarter. The push towards new markets, which includes Americas, Middle East and Asia, and the new commercial channel is on an accelerated path, aided further by a slew of new products and marketing campaigns that got launched in the quarter that has gone by. While we aim for the long term, and an immediate sales uplift remains an equal priority, I'm very happy to report the margin story remains very positive at Paridol. And this has been due to proactive action by the team on material, manpower and financing cost, as well as on more efficient cash management practices. And let me share some examples of the wins that have been achieved. On material cost as a percentage of revenue, we are down to 54% versus 65% last year. We have refinanced the existing loan facilities to shave off financing costs by nearly 200 basis points. Measures have been put in place to optimize manpower costs in line with projected volumes. Inventory today for us is at an all-time low. We are nearly 25% lower than what we were at the same time last year. And further opportunities for reduction have been identified and are being actioned. We are on track to realize nearly 2.5 million of cost savings this year. This is due to small initiatives across the board that have been launched. In short, apart from the volumes, overall P&L at Paridol is in a strong, healthy territory. Largely due to weak market scenario, the sales volume at Paridol during quarter two declined by about 23%, with a revenue declining by about 27% in euro terms and 18% in rupee terms. As we speak, and we just finished the month of October, We are witnessing the first signs of recovery in volume trajectory at Paridor. Order intake for us is outpacing sales, including from the DIY channel in Germany. Macroeconomic factors have improved or have at least started showing first signs of improvement, with inflation in Germany, for instance, coming down to its lowest level in 24 months. Interest rates are also stable for now. All of these indicators give us reasonable confidence that we seem to be leaving behind the worst period for us as far as the demand outlook for Europe is concerned. I will also reiterate that these short-term turbulences aside, the mid to long-term prospects for Paridor remain strong. We remain committed to make Paridor a Euro 500 million plus global brand over the next 3 to 4 years, and are confident about achieving the same. It is most certainly the hidden gem in HIL portfolio to watch out for. Before I conclude, I want to take a minute to give you all a sneak peek of what is happening behind the scenes at HIL. Things that don't usually show up as headlines when we talk of financial performance. But those things are the ones that enable this performance and will determine our success quarter after quarter. It's a sneak peek on how we are building HIL as a modern workplace. In our ways of working, in the last quarter, we have introduced the concept of agile teams. These are cross-functional crack teams that come together for a finite period for initiatives that will either turbocharge our growth journey towards the $1 billion mark or will drive better profitability. I'm particularly excited about teams working on new products, on building a strong institutional and government sales engine. There are teams working on net loss reduction across product segments and also on driving greater asset utilization. And one interesting one is on establishing HIL as a green and responsible organization. In addition, we are accelerating our journey to be a truly digital-first organization where technology is not only an enabler, is not only a source of sustainable differentiation, but is also driving new revenue streams. Driving this change is our recently rejuvenated leadership team. I'm grateful to them for reimagining HIL and for bringing this to life one step at a time. I'll use this platform to express my gratitude to the entire leadership team. And from the entire HIL, Paridor and CK Builder group, my best wishes to all of you, your families and friends for the festive season. Happy Diwali to all of you. I'll now request our CFO Ajay to provide a detailed overview of our financial performance during the quarter. Over to you, Ajay. Thank you.
Thank you, Afsar. Good morning and thank you all for joining today's call. I would like to take this opportunity to present an overview of our financial performance and operational highlights for quarter 2 and H1 of financial year 2024. In quarter 2, we sustained positive volume growth in roofing, blocks and panels and pipes and fitting businesses. We have achieved revenue of Rs. 723 crore as compared to Rs. 764 crore during the same quarter last year. In H1 FY24, revenue stood at Rs. 1,739 crore with decline of 6% against Rs. 1,849 crore in H1 of last year. EBITDA for the period stood at Rs. 99 crore versus Rs. 156 crore. A drop of 267 basis points in margin, mainly on account of increase in manpower cost due to increments and new hirings at leadership positions. The roofing solutions business grew by 7% year-on-year to rupees 207 crore in quarter 2, grew by 3% to rupees 665 crore in H1 FY24. Despite sluggish demand, we continue to grow in volume and thereby further strengthening our market leadership position in the quarter and continue to enjoy customer loyalty. Higher fiber costs relative to quarter 2 last year has negatively impacted margins in this segment. However, our margins in this segment are the highest amongst all roofing players. The building solutions business grew by 4% year-on-year to rupees 128 crore in quarter 2 FY24. In H1, revenue stood at rupees 262 crore, showing a robust growth of 6%. During the quarter, revenue and profits were negatively impacted on account of strike at Chennai in July and first quarter of August. Margins in blocks are lower during the quarter due to poor demand in markets, which led to lower price realization. However, we have been able to partially recover the negative impact by focusing on development of alternate supply sources to keep our input costs lower. We are confident of getting double-digit growth and better margins in coming months. In polymer solutions, we remain stable year-on-year with revenue of rupees 123 crore for quarter 2 with better operating margins. Revenue from operations came at rupees 258 crore during H1, a decline by 6% as compared to 274 crore in H1 FY23. This is on account of lower resin prices as compared to last year. In pipes and fittings, we grew by 14% in volume and achieved a revenue of rupees 85 crore during the quarter, a growth of 2%. We believe that we are in the right profitable zone in this segment and will seek to further improve with growing scale. The Parador business within flooring solutions declined by 18% year-on-year to 258 crore. In Q2 FY24, H1 FY24 revenue were at rupees 551 crore. Our team is actively working on cost savings initiatives and achieved year-on-year material cost reduction of 17% during the quarter. At consolidated level, we have delivered rupees 8 crore EBITDA during the quarter, a decrease from rupees 20 crore in the same quarter last year. The profit before tax stood at a loss of rupees 25 crore. The loss is mainly on account of lower revenue and higher interest cost in flooring solution business. As alluded by Akshat, we took several steps to improve the efficiencies in operating processes, positive impact of sourcing efforts, cost management and value enhancement initiatives to minimize the impact of external factors. They are yielding sustainable improvements in operational KPIs. Our focus on working capital optimization continued during the quarter and inventories are at lowest level. Our debt at consolidated level stood at rupees 408 crores, of which we have repaid rupees 49 crore in the first week of October. The total debt to equity ratio stands at 0.32 as on 30th September. Interest cost in Parador has increased substantially in last 1 year on account of increase in Euribor rate from negative to 4% plus and increase in spreads from 180 basis point to 380 basis point. To reduce overall finance cost in Parador during the quarter, we have refinanced existing loan at our subsidiaries, which will result in reduction of finance cost by nearly 200 basis point. We are confident in our ability to grow our performance footprint and create healthy cash flows going forward. I would now conclude my opening remarks and request moderator to open the floor for further questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We'll now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The first question is from the line of Nikhil from SIMPL. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi. Good morning. Am I audible?
Yes, Nikhil.
Yeah, hi. So my question is on Paradore. Akshat, if we go back to our last quarter commentary, you had mentioned that the gross margin of 44 seemed to be very high and it could rationalize. But what we've seen this quarter is that it's expanded further. And if we look at in history, prior to when the MDF and everything hit badly, Paradore used to operate around 48-50% gross margin. So do you see that we can recover back to our historical levels, or is like 45-46 should be the new base of gross margin? That is one. And additionally, also when we are looking at more commercial business from direct retail business, do you think that this is the level at which Paradore should operate in future? And secondly, now when the P&L...
Nikhil, if I may interrupt this, can you repeat the second part? I got the first part of the question.
The second part was, as the mix, we are trying to move towards more commercial sales as well, which Paradore was not doing earlier. Would that be a little bit lower on the gross margin versus the pure retail sales? So is it like 45-46 should be the base for Paradore in future?
Okay. I got those two parts. Sorry, I interrupted.
Last question. On the sales side now, it's like almost 5 quarters we are looking at a drop in sales in Paradore. And I know the external context of Europe is still was weak. But if you can just share what is the ground feeling which you are getting, and also on the commercial, the efforts which we were putting, how are they shaping up? Because last call you had mentioned, you had shared some order pipeline or inquiry is which we were looking at. So any developments on those two sides?
Right. Thank you, Nikhil. And let me try and get past the first part. So on gross margin, your observations are bang on, and our view is that coming back to the 48-50% level is possible, and that's what we are gunning for. So that definitely is on the horizon, number one. Number two, on commercial, the idea is that, and there is empirical evidence to that effect, we should not be eroding our gross margins and our overall product margin through those channels. There are enough companies who play only in that segment and return good profits. So just the nature of playing in those markets, the kind of products, the kind of selling is slightly different, but it should not come at a lower margin for us. So we do not expect that to be a factor in the margin play at all. Yes, 5 quarters of drop in sales. I am reasonably confident that by the time we do the next call, at least we would have bucked the trend. And there should be a reversal on that front. Largely, the volume drop has been on account of what's happening in the markets that we play in. Somewhere, the comfort we draw is that the impact on us as Paradore is lower than what the industry estimates are quoting. And these are reports that are coming out across all the associations and channels. So that's the silver lining, and that's also, but that's the reality in which we operate in. To your question, what is the outlook? I think, as I said, we are cautiously optimistic that the worst is behind us, and the reason we are saying that is on the back of what we have seen in the month of October. Those are, of course, not reflected in the numbers released so far. But early signs both on what orders are coming to us plus what the macroeconomic situation is looking like is giving us that encouragement. And let me address both. On the macroeconomic side, this is possibly the period where this is for Germany the lowest inflation that they have hit in the last 24 months. The interest rates, which were being steadily increased this time around, have been stable. So the that trend of interest rate increase has now finally been paused. In some of the retail counters, and we sell heavily in DIY and retail in Germany, the orders are and the sales numbers are now in line with what it was same time last year, which means the footfalls seem to be coming back to these stores, which is also a positive sign for us. This basis conversations and how some of the orders have been done for us, apart from Germany, a few other markets in Western Europe, which are key for us, for example, Nordics, seem to be now getting off the blocks. So orders have started coming in and so on and so forth. For us at Paridor in October, our order intake was at a faster clip than the sales turnover itself, which also is a lead indicator of how the next few months are likely to pan out. And finally, I think some efforts and some initiatives that we had taken seem to be paying off. In an environment where over the last 4 to 6 months, our competitors were laying off people, reducing capacity, especially on the frontline side, the fact that we have stayed closer to our customers, we have not done anything of that sort, is being appreciated and is being taken note by these customers. And that is where we feel we are first of the blocks as the recovery, first signs of recovery are coming in. Now, I'm also underlining that these are early signs, so we should still wait and watch. But I'm also contextualizing it that this is basis what we have seen in October. So we are cautiously optimistic that the worst is behind us as far as Paridor is concerned.
Here.
Thank you. Sorry to interrupt you, Nikhil. May I request you to come back in the question queue for a follow-up question?
Okay, fine. Sure.
Thank you.
Thank you, Nikhil.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Keshav Garg from Counter Cyclical Investments. Please go ahead.
I'm trying to understand that as regards the so-called...
Keshav, sorry, your voice is breaking a little bit.
Sir, my question is regarding the so-called gem in our portfolio, Paridor. So the losses are really alarming. And sir, if I remember correctly, in the last call, it was mentioned that we are hoping to break even at the EBITDA level by the third quarter or the second half. So where are we as regards the EBITDA break even? And so secondly, at what level of losses will the management consider shutting down or disposing of this business? Because I think the blunder, original blunder, was committed when we went out and bought a high cost structure asset in a saturated market. So what are your views on that?
Thank you, Keshav. I think my view is we are clearly not in agreement with the perspective you have on Paridor. We do not think it was a blunder. We do not think it is a blunder. The profitability and what I had mentioned, I think we stay firm on the fact that quarter three, we should be EBITDA positive. I don't think there is any reversal in that outlook. We are, in fact, as we stand today, we are even more confident than we were a quarter ago on that outlook. So operating profits should be in the positive zone as far as quarter three is concerned. To your question, and I think I have been clear in my opening remarks as well, we feel confident that the mid to long-term prospects for Paradore are extremely strong. There are, of course, headwinds in the short run, and these are not headwinds which are to do with Paradore itself as a company, but within the environment that it operates in. The fact that we are diversifying, the fact that we are diversifying not just in new markets but also newer channels, will help in building more resilience in the P&L and driving the growth. I'm very happy at this stage that overall health of the books is extremely good. The only factor that needs to start kicking in is the volume factor. And with real concerted effort, if a quarter ago, I think I remember we had said that about 30 million of top line, we are EBITDA positive. We have brought that down to about 12 million. Now, those are the kind of efforts that should be appreciated. We need the volume support from the market, and those support are starting to come, and we are ready to start rocking on that front. So we do not consider it as a blunder. We feel that this is something that will add a lot of value to the HIL portfolio and will help create a truly global brand for us.
Sir, that is encouraging to know that we are sticking with our break-even guidance for the second half of the third quarter. Sir, I just want to understand, sir, that what is the competitive advantage in Paradore that we have, which gives you confidence that we can scale up this business to 500 million euros over the next 4-5 years? Sir, because it's not that we are manufacturing at a low-cost destination like India and marketing in Europe with a well-established brand. So we are manufacturing in Europe for the European market just like our competitors. Sir, so where is the competitive advantage?
So competitive advantage comes from two or three sources. First, and let me get the easier part out. I think the fact that there is a certain operating discipline that we have brought in since we have sort of taken over the company is driving unprecedented level of efficiencies in the system. So that is clearly one, which is where, and the evidence of that is that in the last 3 to 6 months, all our competitors, whether it's Meister, Harrow, have laid off significant chunks of people. We have not resorted to that, or we have not felt the need to resort to that because we've managed to take costs out from the.
Okay, sir, thank you very much, and best of luck to you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Keshav.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Praveer from Nidra Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, you know my question was regarding.
Sorry, I didn't get the name.
My name is Sarvesh Shahapuri.
Sarvesh, sorry, am I getting the name right?
Yes, Sarvesh Shahapuri.
Sarvesh, okay.
My question was regarding Paradore, actually. You said you're seeing maybe a volume pickup potentially in the European market, and that doesn't go in line with what we are seeing in the home sales out there because of the rate rises. So what are you seeing that is different compared to what's happening on the ground?
Sorry, would you say that again? The question was not clear.
I'm saying what we're seeing on the ground with the interest rates moving up, the home sales are actually stagnating, if not declining, in most of Europe. So where are you seeing this volume uptick? And what are you seeing that's different than on the ground?
So, again, there are two, three things to remember. One is diversification beyond Europe, and that is playing out well. So, in fact, one of the brighter spots for us has been our sales in this quarter and the first half of the year to markets like North America. So that's one where, despite economic headwinds, the consumer sentiment is much better compared to what it is in Europe, and volume offtake is happening there. In Europe itself, we cater to three parts of the market. One is the refurb or replacement market. Then there is the new residential that happens. Then there are the commercial projects. Now, on the commercial side, the activity is not that muted as it was, as it is in the residential side. And that's where our efforts to diversify are also paying good dividends. So overall, that sentiment, especially also on the refurb market, is coming back. So yes, construction activity is lower, and that is reflected in the overall demand slump that has happened. However, it is coming back is what we are trying to share with you.
Understood. And if I can just shift the conversation back to the domestic market, you know, on the specifically in the panels, you know, segment that you guys are in, there is a new product that we've been seeing in the market called Graymax. Would you care to talk about that just at all? Is that possible?
It's not from our side. I don't think it's right for me to talk about a competitor's product, please.
No, I mean, specifically I am, because the question I'm trying to ask you is, the product seems to be making inroads into a lot of your segment. It is cheaper than apparently your product. So would you not even want to address that at all on the call?
See, if I talk about our prospects on panel, so I do not have the details of the product you are talking about. That said, for us on the panel side, both on volume and on our price realizations, we have seen healthy increases both on quarter-on-quarter and on year-on-year basis. So in this segment, we don't feel there is a competition or a stiff competition that is coming in from this.
So you don't see any competitive intensity increasing or changing at all from your perspective?
No.
Okay, fine. That's all for me. Thank you.
Thank you, Tarvir.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Chirag Shah from White Pine Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. The first question is on Parador, and it's more to do with Q-on-Q performance, if you can indicate. What has been the volume and realization trend quarter-on-quarter? YOY, we understand that the base effect issue is there. And quarter-on-quarter, I understand the seasonality, but despite that, if you can indicate how has been the volume and realization Q-on-Q.
So on price terms, we are largely in, we are flat, we have not dropped prices, so we have sustained the price level. So at a quarter-on-quarter level, that remains flat. On a volume basis, we are, second quarter is down compared to quarter one by about 10 to 11%.
And is this the normal trend? Is this the normal trend? 10 to 11% Q1Q drop seasonality, is the normal trend, or this is different than the normal?
It is in line, maybe a couple of percentage points more than the usual norm. You are aware, quarter two is the summer vacation time, and there is usually a demand slump. In fact, all plants, including us, we take our annual shutdowns in this period and do our maintenance. So production itself is planned to be lower. So at a normal level, what is 8 to 10% is looking like a 10 to 11% this time.
Second question is again on Parador. So you know, we have this focus on beefing up the sales team, especially in the non-core markets. Say the identified 2-3 non-core markets or 4 core. So any status on that, and why would somebody join Parador? So what is the USP that you are offering to the front-end team over there? So I understand Germany, you may be able to add people, for example, given your strength. But say US or some of the other regions that the focus is. If you can share what has been, how last 3-4 months have been on that side.
So the status on that, one, the teams have actually been beefed up. So for the rest of the markets outside the DACH region, there's been a scale up on the sales team. In North America, we are putting our own resources, plus there are a few partners that we have onboarded to drive our market entry into that, and that is working well. In terms of the USP, there are a few things, and let me take them one by one. And I think there was a question also from Keshav around this. The first is the product itself. Paridor is known for the quality that it offers. So the quality of product is a big USP that we have. Second, as a brand, we are probably one of very few brands globally which offer a range of comprehensive flooring products. So if you look at typical manufacturers or brands, they are either engineered wood or only laminate or only resilient flooring. The fact that we have a comprehensive portfolio is a second big thing. With quality, I am also going with two other functional attributes. One is aesthetics and design is a calling card for Paridor. So for the last 40-45 years that we've been around, Paridor as a brand is known for superior aesthetics and design attributes. So that remains a big thing.
Yeah.
On quality, the fact, and I'll mention maybe just one more thing, the fact that we do our own manufacturing, because this is a space which is ripe with a lot of consumer brands which do not make flooring on their own. They have outsourced manufacturing. The fact that we have our own manufacturing is a big, big plus. And that too in a place like Germany, which brings with it its own quality connotations, is brilliant. In fact, the other day I was, we were doing a sales workshop last week in Germany. Our rejection at the consumer end is less than 0.2%. That is ridiculously impressive, and you do that across industries, that's a super benchmark to achieve. And finally, I'm also addressing something that was asked earlier. As a very important USP as to how scale-up will help us is because all of this scale-up up to 350 odd million will come through our existing manufacturing capacities. So we don't really need to invest in more to do this scale-up, which gives us huge amount of operating leverage. So those are a few things, Chirag, the made in Germany representation for people in these external markets is a big plus, and that gets them attracted to the brand.
And we have a geographies where you've actually added the sales team aggressively, if you can, or sales channels, not just team, because you it's own as well as through distributor. So which are the geographies where you have really added the sales channel aggressively?
So the most significant additions, and I will also talk where the results have started coming in, the most significant additions have been in the UK. Results still not visible in last quarter's numbers. We've added capacity in Spain. Results are visible. In fact, Spain has been an outperforming market for us last quarter. We've added capacity in the Nordics. We've added capacity in the Middle East. And the last one is for North America.
So of the five regions or the location that you indicated, Spain is where the result is visible, right? And rest you are expecting them to follow maybe next two quarters.
Correct. So Nordics, I think you will see results this quarter itself because those orders have started flowing. Different stages of evolution for these markets mean that some will respond faster, some will take a little bit longer. But these are the places where we have invested in capacity.
Yeah, and last question, if I can just... So again, coming back to Paridor, so given the geopolitical situation the way it is, right? What kind of cash support from parent, if required, Paridor will need? And what is the budget that you have kept yourself? Now, I understand, see, this is not in your hands, so I fully understand that. But given the way the situation is playing out geopolitically now, with more regions getting entangled in various geopolitical issues, there could be delay in your recovery plan. And Paridor may need some cash support. So if you can share some light and address those concerns, it would be helpful.
So I'll invite Ajay, but my broad answer to your question, Chirag, is that the support that was needed in H1, Ajay mentioned earlier in the call, for H2, we do not envisage any further support for Paridor coming in from the India side. And this is to sustain from an operational point of view. Now, if there is something that we plan to do in coming years from a growth perspective, which is over and beyond the normal, that will be different. But for now, at least in H2, which is the immediate horizon, we do not envisage or plan for any further support that will be needed there. Ajay, anything to add on that?
Yeah, so Chirag, we have currently around 7 million euro cash balance in Paridor. And the good part in refinancing is we got 18 months moratorium. So there is no funds required for even repayment of debt for at least next 1.5 years.
Okay, this is really helpful. And maybe just one last thing.
Chirag, I will request to come back in the question here.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chirag.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Harshit from Robo Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hi, Harshit.
Hi. So my question is related to what has been the changes in the price of asbestos quarter on quarter and year on year, if you can guide me on that.
You mean asbestos or our roofing products?
Yeah, for the asbestos product, what has been the changes in the price?
So for us, and I can't say that as a generalization for the market, for us, compared to last year, we have grown our pricing and realization by about 2%. And compared to last quarter, and you understand the dynamics of this market, Q1 is the high season and Q2 is the low season. So there's been a drop of about 4 to 5% on the realization compared to previous quarter.
Okay. If you could provide any forward price trend guidance on this, like what do you think will be the pricing?
So I think what is also pertinent to note that overall at a H1 level, if I do a year on year, we are about 3% higher compared to last year. Okay, and that's where the volume mix comes in. So keep that also in mind. In terms of the price outlook, we are confident, and a lot of it is also driven by the lag effect of the increase in input and trying to recover it. A quarter and quarter increase of about 2% for the next two quarters is something that should be expected. So 2 to 3% is where we should be landing depending on Q3 and Q4.
2 to 3% will be the guidance for quarter on quarter.
That's right.
And just the last question, what is the current price, for this?
Current price for this would be in the range of about 10,200 per metric ton at a blended all India level. But please remember that at a different regions and different states within a region behave differently. So this is a very gross level of aggregation.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Rajat Setia from iThought PMS. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity.
Hi, Rajat.
Hi. So my first question is about construction chemicals. How much revenue did we do in H1?
We did 21 crore revenue in construction chemicals in H1.
Okay. And is tariff adjustments part of it or is it separate?
Sorry?
Tariff adjustments is
part of it.
Sorry, your voice is not coming clearly.
Is it any better now?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, so that's part of it. So how do you rate the progress of this vertical? Is it going as per the expectations?
Yes, this is going as per expected. I think H1 from a aggregate level, Ajay shared the number, but at an exit level, if I do, we are clocking about 6 to 7 crore of revenue monthly, and that's rapidly ramping up. So it is as per plan. We knew that first half of the year, there is a fair amount of foundational activities in terms of getting the product assortment right, building the channel, or getting the right sales team on. All of that has been done. H2, as I said, should be an interesting period, and scale up should happen because this is also the start of the season for that. The first signs from October are encouraging. And we shared some sort of latest exit numbers around that.
Sure. And moving to Patti, is the competition still hurting us there? Or margins have been arrested? Margin fall has been arrested?
Yes, it remains a hotly contested market. If you look at and where it really impacts is just the price realization. It is not just us, but the whole industry. Our belief is that the industry from a pricing point of view has shrank by about 10 to 12% compared to same time last year. That affects us as well. But our volume growth now seems to be on the right path. So quarter two was difficult, also given the season. But quarter three onwards, we are hopeful that the volume trajectory should resume. For us, somewhere the efforts of the last 12 months in driving down cost is paying off. So actually, from a profitability point of view, despite lower volumes compared to last year, we are much better on those parameters.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much and wish you all the best.
Thank you, Rajat.
Thank you. A request to all the participants, please restrict to 2 questions per participant and join the queue again for a follow-up question. Next question is from the line of Satish Kumar from Intuit Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, Akshat. My question is on Parador. Normally in Q3, we used to do $38 to $40 billion. What is the euros of revenue? Are we tracking that or we are well below that?
Thank you, Satish. So my sense is we should be in that ballpark. If the markets recover, we could be beating that kind of number or slightly lower, but we should be in that ballpark, give or take 5% plus minus.
Thanks, Akshat. Thank you.
Thank you, Satish.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Nikhil from Abacus Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity.
Hi, Nikhil.
Hi, Akshat. Sir, I have a couple of questions. Firstly, on Parador, you mentioned that we'll achieve EBITDA break-even in 3Q. Any update on when we'll achieve PBT break-even? Do you expect in second half to achieve PBT break-even in fourth quarter?
Ajay?
I guess we may achieve PBT break-even in Q4 or Q1 next year.
Yeah.
Okay. And Ajay, to achieve this PBT break-even, what would be the sales run rate which we would be looking at?
So to achieve this break-even, we are expecting 44-45 million euro run revenue in a quarter.
Okay. Fair enough. Got it. Secondly, sir, just coming on the roofing part of the business, Now you mentioned that you know, we'll have to take this 2 to 3% quarter on quarter price hike to sort of gain back our margins. What we are seeing right now, you know, from the markets, everything, the rural demand has not been that great, and the rains have also been very iffy. So, and especially the competition is also very high in this space. So, how confident are you of, you know, this price hikes and still keeping our volumes intact?
We are reasonably confident on this. The effects of inconsistent rain, etc., at least our own observation on ground is somewhat less impacted by this. We feel rains on in balance have been okay, and we do not also witness a significant drag on the rural demand sentiments. So on a conservative level, I would say that factor is neutral. On the pricing front, somewhere it's also an inevitability given the spurt that happened on the raw material side. And by the time we hit end of Q3, the next cycle of raw material price negotiations, etc., will also start coming in on raw material. So somewhere, given where we are and given all the other players in the industry, I feel it's almost an inevitability that we'll have to pull back some of it. Otherwise, the margins, etc., will go below what is sustainable level for most players.
So I think it's already below the sustainable level. So from that perspective, because if I look at the full year numbers for the last couple of years, we used to do 20% odd EBIT margins, right? And the way the run rate is going, we have almost shaved off close to 600-700 bips. So from that perspective, the question was,
I agree. And that's a situation that faces all the players in the industry, probably a bit more for others. And that's why we feel there is a need. Honestly, if you look at how the price increases have happened this year so far, it's not a bad trend. Otherwise, the decline that typically happens in quarter two is much more. So it's almost a, we are all playing catch up to the cost increases that have happened, and what I am projecting as a 2 to 3% increase is essentially in that trend.
Got it, sir. So just one last question from my side. You know, with this construction chemicals and the other B2C part of the business that we are working on, we were planning on doing some aggressive marketing spends. Now, given the current situation where we are facing pressure both in Paradore as well as to certain extent in our India business as well, are we still going to go ahead with this kind of aggressive brand spend that we are planning, or we will just wait for a better sort of a situation?
We will have to do that, and somewhere my request would be that we do not mix the here and now, the short run, with what the long-term prospects are. A lot of these brand build activities pay off over a slightly longer period of time. But unless we do those investments today, we will be having a similar conversation same time next year. So to avoid that, it is important that we continue on that path.
Okay. Any number you would want to add to this, brand spend, how much will time?
Let me just say that we'll have to be ahead of the curve as far as these new businesses are concerned, and I would add pipes and fittings also into that category. So pipes and fitting, construction chemical and putty as a collective needs almost ahead of the curve kind of marketing spend to drive traction and the volume growth that we are aspiring for.
Fair enough. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you, Nikhil.
Thank you. I request all the participants, please restrict to 2 questions per participant. Next question is from the line of Jainesh Shah, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thank you for giving this opportunity. I just have also, like, I've been relatively new to understand the company and looking at some of the attributes, the business attributes, and been looking at that the raw material prices as, in each of our business has been very, very volatile. You can just give some understanding with regard to which are the key ones in a particular in each of the segments, and how are we sourcing this raw material in each of the businesses. Second question is with regard to the margin guidance which you had given earlier to reach about like 10 to 12%, or eventually in the range of around like a 12 to 14% range. Given the situation now we have, especially the challenging environment which we have in Europe and many other, and in India as well, in some of the businesses where the pricing pressure has been there, how how much should we look into the margin in terms of next 18 months or two, let's say next 18 months? Or should we be having patience with regard to the achieving of those margins for a little longer in that sense? And third question is on the net debt. I mean, saying if you just can share the net debt numbers, and given the kind of growth which you are aspiring to reach $1 billion, what kind of a financing we have? I mean, either are we sufficiently capitalized to reach that kind of a business, or are we required to raise capital either in the form of debt or equity, whichever, over next 3 years or so? Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Dinesh. Raw material, three key ones to track for a company like us. There is the fiber, which is entirely imported. So there are two or three global suppliers, and we maintain a mix between them. The second is cement, local product sourced locally within 100 to 200 kilometer radius of our plants. And third key raw material for us to watch out is the PVC resin, which is sourced as a combination of imported and Indian suppliers. These are the three raw materials whose price movement availability really affects us as a company, and these are the three which attract disproportionate attention from all of us internally. On your margin, if we talk
Sorry, Akshat, just to get some more clarity on the Paradox, how are the sourcing being done at that end as well?
So Paradox,
Raw material sourcing there.
So Paradox raw material, depending on which product. So for us, oak wood is one key raw material that we source. Most of it is sourced from certain grades of oak within Europe. Then there is HDF, MDF, which are the underlays on the flooring, sourced as a combination of from a combination of sources within Europe and some from Asia, but less quantities. So those would be the key raw materials if I have to take the top two or three.
PP and PU from
China. PP and PU from China is Japan. And there is some specific grades that we also import from Japan. So that's for Paradox.
Okay. Yeah, thanks. Okay. Yeah, on the margin side.
The margin guidance for next year, so I'm talking about the next financial year, which sort of is the back end of your 18-month time horizon. Of course, as you said, patience is a great virtue, but internally, if I may share, at a lower end of the spectrum that you defined. We should be hitting that zone next year. And then the guidance that we shared last time for subsequent years remain intact. That is where we are all committed to getting to. So we should be in that at least low end of the double digit numbers next year. So if, and then going beyond to that higher end of the 10, 12, 14% that we spoke about. From a net debt perspective, Ajay, do you want to come in?
Yeah, so, Rainy, so we, in as far as HR India is concerned, we are forcing a growth or in 2x growth in pipes and fittings, putty and building solution business, where we see investment of around 400 to 500 crore in next 3 years' time. Our cash generation on an average every year is in the range of 150 crore after payment of tax and dividend. So that will be enough for meeting these capex. However, there is a timing difference in terms of borrowings. We may borrow in 1 year, but the repayment will be happen in a short period of time. As far as Europe Parador is concerned, we are running at 50% utilization level. And with the current capacity available, we will easily touch 275 to 300 million top line.
Yeah, and how about the working capital requirements? Are we, today we are working on a very thin, very efficient working capital, in the business, across the business, I would say. But when we grow to the size, how do we see the working capital requirements going up or the working capital days changing over a period of next 2-3 years when you're aspiring to grow 2x or 3x in size in that way?
Yeah, so as far as working capital is concerned, the working capital requirement in roofing and building solution business are not too much. Our working capital percentage to revenue is in roofing around 10-11%, whereas building solution is a single digit. Pipes and fitting business require some sort of working capital since we have multiple SKUs, more than 1500 SKUs, plus we have depots. So that requirement will be in the range of 15-20%. So any growth in pipes and fittings, which we just mentioned 2x growth, that required around 15% working capital on 500 crore, which is less than 100 crore. So, and we are right now in India, our debt is in the range of 60 crore, which is working capital debt. So we have enough bandwidth available to borrow from the bank for this purpose.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thanks for the great answers.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jen.
A request to all the participants, please restrict to 2 questions per participant. Next question is from Zain of Ramakrishna from Zen Wealth. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you. Am I audible?
Yes, Ram.
Yeah, I just a couple of questions from my side. First is regards to Parador. During first quarter discussion and the conference call around Parador, you have mentioned from commercial, you have an order book of around 75 million euros. So what is the number, at the end of the second quarter? And you also mentioned that from Q3, we can start expecting part of converting into revenues. So if you can please share the thoughts over there, that is my first question. Second thing is if you can please share some insights on the Charminar Fortune brand in the non-asbestos segment. And finally, I missed the capex requirement, if you can please repeat that. Thank you.
To recap, on the first question on Parador, what I had mentioned was, and that's why I was careful, it was the lead pipeline of 75 million, it was not an order book. That lead pipeline today, given some of them have converted, some have not fructified for us, we are at about the 80-85 million mark as far as that lead pipeline today is concerned. So that should answer, that's probably what you were looking for in order in your first question. From a Charminar,
when will they start getting converting into revenues, Q3, Q4 or next year?
I think the usual norm is it takes about 3 months for a lead pipeline for the results, etc. to start coming in. If it is to do with a commercial project, then there is a 3 to 5 months lead time. Okay, let's say with maybe 3 to 4 months type of lead time when we have to deliver the product, which is when it gets converted into revenue.
Sure.
Okay. On Charminar Fortune, overall, we continue to invest in that. There is a decent sales clip that is happening on that front. We've also had growth on the pricing front as far as that product is concerned. The offtake is limited to certain sections given the price disadvantage.
Participants, please stay connected. The line for the management dropped. Ladies and gentlemen, please stay connected while we rejoin the management back to the call. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your patience. We have the line for the management reconnected. So you may go ahead.
Hi, everyone. Is this audible?
Yes, that's audible. You may go ahead.
Sorry, this was the question from Ramakrishna. Ram, are you there?
Yes, I am. I'm there.
Okay, we are back. So Charminar Fortune, I was saying very quickly, apart from volume, etc., the product from a functional attributes perspective is where we want it to be. So those are now in line with what and comparable to the core AC sheet product. Pricing is something where a differentiation still exists, which also sort of constrains the amount of demand in the market for a product like that at the moment. So that's where we stand on that. On the net debt situation or the capital requirement, Ajay, do you want to recap?
So Ram, exactly what kind of capex requirement you mentioned for this year or for next 3 years?
6 years across all the segments.
It's around 500 to 500 crore is the capex requirement in next 3 years. Apart from that, there are another 100 crore probably maintenance capex requirement.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ram.
Thank you. Next question is from Lano Sanjay Kumar from iPod PMS. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi, Akshat.
Hi, Sanjay.
Commendable performance in piping, you know, 22% volume growth in retail channel. I think Supreme had done 23%, Apollo 28%. So what is the share of B2B channel and the retail channel, the breakup? And what will be our strategy here? Will we focus on retail or B2B and both?
So we are roughly 75-25 between retail and projects. In terms of strategy, we will have to fire on both cylinders. I don't think we are big enough at the moment to choose one over the other. In fact, we will also have to add the third segment, which is critical here, which is the government channel. So the B2G part is something that you should see from our side in the coming months. That's the third area that we are building.
Okay. And do we have the capacity going forward, given the growth that we're
seeing? Yes, we do. We are currently at about 60-65% capacity utilization. We feel there is capacity in our current ones, and then there are some plans in pipeline too for both brownfield and greenfield expansion.
Perfect. Second, on building segment. Both sales growth and margin is very different from that of, say, big blocks numbers that came out recently. Big block grew 21% in Q2 with an EBITDA margin of 25%. Even if I try to adjust for the 26 days of Chennai plant shutdown, the gap seems to be wide. Your comments on this, and what was the contribution of Chennai plant to the building segment?
Chennai plant contributes roughly 20% of total volume in blocks.
Okay. Okay, sir. And going forward, what could be the normalized margin and growth for this segment?
From a margin perspective, is that the question?
Yeah, and the growth also, outlook for both growth and margin.
See, from a margin, from a volume perspective, we expect about 10-12% growth in the remaining part of the year. From a margin perspective, we are confident that by the time we exit in March, we should be in the 12-14% range as far as the margin is concerned, operating margin.
Got it. Got it. Thank you, Akshat. That's it from my side.
Thank you so much, Sanjay.
Thank you very much. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you. Thank you, Meet. And thank you to everyone for joining us. It's been a pleasure, as always, interacting with all of you over this call. We thank you for taking the time out. We thank you for your continued interest in HIL. And if there are any follow-up questions after this call, or you would like to know anything more about the company, please reach out to our investor relations desk. Thank you so very much, and once again, best wishes for the festival season. Happy Diwali to all of you.
Thank you very much. On behalf of HIL Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you.
Thank you.